prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
It's like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. It's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpets sound. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for A Call to Decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul, 24 June 2025. I still can't get over how fast this year's gone by and how much has happened this year already in world events. Unbelievable. Before we get to the next program, though, I have two prayer requests tonight, both of them. For part of the family of one of Martian and mine's very dearest friends, her brother, his name is Arnold, and a sister named Ruby. Both of them are, well, what can I say? They're elderly like I am. But they need prayer, please, for health, these Jews. They both love the Lord and are trying to do what's right. So keep them in prayer if you don't mind. Arnold and Ruby, please do that if you don't mind. Now, our guest tonight, and by the way, our office numbers haven't changed. If you want to need or anything, and I hope you will look at us for what we can do for you, please give us a call at 800-777-4403 or 304-846-4448. Calling that second number does save us quite a bit of money in a month, folks, because toll-free lines are not free. They're free to call, but somebody's got to pay for the call. Comes back on us. If you can call toll-free, if you can call the toll number, please do. If you can't, it's okay. The toll-free number is there for a purpose. But you call tomorrow if you like, anytime between 9 and 4 Eastern. If you want to place an order, ask a question, make whatever you want to do, want me to call you, whatever it is I need to do, or we need to do, please feel free to call and let us know because we want to be here to serve. This is the ministry, folks. This is a ministry that's trying it. We're trying our best to get the word out, to organize people. For no other reason, at least to pray for each other. I don't need to tell you that we are in this nation, I'm saying this politely, in a hell of a mess, in every way possible. And it seems like when you put out one fire, 10 more spring up. Our guest tonight, Sherry Few, has been on the program several times. A very sweet lady that is always gracious to us and comes on and talk to us when she can. She is the head of U.S. Parents Involved in Education. And it seems like every time one of the battles are won, we take down a bad policy or some kind of idea that's turned against the children, we call it the tribe of Christian, whatever it may be, we win one, like Liberty Council will have one next week, Jonathan Alexander, who's one of the head guys at Liberty Council, will tell us they take one dragon out and another one comes in. Well, this is what Sherry's been doing for a long time. She's been fighting these dragons and winning many battles, but every time you take one out, one pops up and seems more ludicrous, more insane, and more absolutely outrageous than something before that. and she's still swinging a sword. I admire her for that. Sherry, welcome to the program.
Pastor Blitz, I appreciate you having me back on. When you were given
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, when you're given that description, I couldn't help but think of the game Whack-A-Mole.
There you go.
Yeah. Head,
yep.
Pops up.
And the faster you go, the faster it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember that game. I do. But Sherry, I do want to thank you because you are one busy lady. But you've always been so gracious to us, and I appreciate that. I really mean that. I don't take that for granted, so I don't think I do. But your work is so important. I want to have you on from time to time to bring us up to date what's happening. But before you do that, though, tell the people, for the new listeners, who you are, what you've done in the past, and how you get involved in what you're doing now.
Okay. So I am Sherry Few, and I'm the president of United States Parents Involved in Education. We started out as South Carolina Parents Involved in Education in the state where I live when my children were in government schools. I was concerned about what I saw in their curriculum back then. I mean, my youngest is now, 33. And so that's how long I've been at this. And it started back then. Things weren't as blatant as they are today, but I still had concerns. There were things in their history lesson. Actually, it was geography class, but it was teaching about the different countries and their forms of government, and it seemed to esteem China over America, and it said that their citizens were given tax credits to keep population under control, and I told my son to the side, and I said, that's absolutely a lie. That's not true at all. They have forced abortions in China, and particularly for girl babies. And so anyway, that's how it started in South Carolina. I led the effort in our state against the Common Core standards back in 2010 to 2015. And when that ended the way it did in nearly every state in the country, where activists like myself were fighting against these faulty standards, and, you know, we fought several years, a couple years in a row on good legislation to get it passed to repeal it, and it only ended with Common Core standards rebranded. It's every state in the nation is teaching the Common Core standards still, except for Florida. So at that time, I collaborated with the people like myself, my colleagues around the country who had been in this battle, and we formed the national organization, United States Parents Involved in Education, and we adopted as our mission to close the U.S. Department of Education and end all federal education mandates, because we understood that that's where the majority of the nefarious pedagogies originate, and they're incentivized with federal dollars. So we've been a national organization for 10 years now, and, you know, our mission, we're so excited because it's also President Trump's mission, at least one of the things he promised in his platform when he ran for president. And he's signed an executive order that says exactly what we believe, which is that education needs to be returned to the states. So we saw a little action along those lines, and it's not exactly what we'd like to see, but we'll talk more about that as we talk. But we're involved with we produced a movie a few years ago, Truth and Lies in American Education, and recently I started a podcast. It's the USPI podcast titled Unmasking Government Schools with Sherry Few. So that's once a week. It's an audio video podcast, and had some really amazing guests on there so far. And perhaps Pastor Butch, we can have you on one day.
Well, I'd love to do that. It'd be an honor. Let me know if I can do it and when I can do it, and I'll be glad to join you. It'd be an honor to join you. Thank you for mentioning that.
Sure.
But now, so you have been doing this for how many years now?
Well, actually, 25 years.
Oh, my goodness. You told me one time before, and I couldn't believe it. I still can't believe it. 25 years. My goodness.
Yes.
Okay.
As a volunteer, no less. I dedicate my time voluntarily. It's a calling. You know how that is. If you're called to do something, you're obedient.
Oh, yes.
And God provides for all your needs.
That's very true. I've been on radio going on 33 years. I've never taken a penny out of ministry. It goes back into the ministry. But by God's grace and the help of his people, we're still here. And I have to tell you that money sometimes can be a real frustrating thing to work with when you're trying to pay the bills. You know that already.
Right, right. So. It's a challenge, but we've been really blessed, and God's been providing. But, you know, I'm not interested in getting paid. I'm blessed to be able to afford a couple of part-time staff, and together I think their hours total about 30 hours a week. And we do pretty well, but it's good that I have some staff support to help me do all the work that I do.
Amen. I understand that for sure, for sure. Bring us up to date on some of the things that you've already been involved in. In the last few weeks, I've been getting all emails about what you're doing. And you're facing some battles that, I mean, sometimes stand there and just shake my head and wonder, how can this even be brought up as something legitimate? I mean, where did this come from? Where did these thoughts come from? Where did these people come from? But you guys, you have to confront them, as I said before we went on the air. The sad part of it is the taxpayers paying for them to defend themselves. We have to raise our own funds to get this stuff out of the schools. But share with us some of the things you're facing right now and the absurdity of what you're having to face.
Okay, so I actually had a recent opinion editorial published in the Washington Times where I talked about a case in Rhode Island where a mother whose daughter attempted suicide in front of her, and this was after 2 years of her transitioning from a female into a male with the school's assistance behind the parents' back. So the mother had no idea that this was going on for 2 full years until finally it culminated in this suicide attempt. And again, right in front of her mother. So she learned after that what had been going on. And praise the Lord, she has joined in with an organization in Rhode Island, and she's suing the government, the schools, for what they did to her child. She says that they're the cause for her child's suicide attempt, because for those full 2 years, she's pretending to be two different people. She's got this split personality. At school, she's a boy. At home, she's a girl. And the school had encouraged her not to tell her parents. So the young teenager, you know, you can imagine teenage life is difficult enough as it is. You got this other thing going on. And then on top of it all, they're telling you to lie to your parents. And so this is what she was dealing with, which her mother believes was the stress that led up to her suicide.
Well, so, yeah, I can only imagine. I can only imagine. You know, how old you are, I mean, I'm sure you remember as a young girl, keeping something simple like a bad report card from three parents was stressful enough. But trying to do something like this would have to drive you insane.
Yes, exactly. And that's exactly what it did. It caused, a mental illness. Obviously, the daughter was already suffering from a mental illness, and the school just piled on and confused her and caused her to live this double life. It's just a really very sad story, and I'm pleased that the Rhode Island Parents Involved in Education, you know, we have state chapters, and the president there in Rhode Island told me about this story, and, you know, I talked with some people there, and they asked if I could help them by trying to get more exposure of the case, so I wrote an opinion editorial, and of course, it was published in the Washington Times, so I'm really hoping that's going to help them, but this is the kind of thing we're hearing a lot of around the country. I mean, the idea of keeping it from the parents, I think, is so egregious. It's an intentional agenda, pinning the child against the parent. And in some states, you know, they're trying to pass laws where if you don't, quote unquote, affirm your child's identity, uh-huh, then they will consider that child abuse and remove the child from your home.
You know, and I know a lot of people don't believe this, and I think you do, though. This is very demonic. This is straight from the pits of hell. We know that. And these children are being affected by what they're hearing, seeing, whatever it may be. And it does plague them. And, yes, demonic activity does exist. These young individuals are not only confused by what they've been told and taught by the so-called education system, maybe they're being opened up to some things that people don't want to consider. But this young lady that tried to commit suicide in front of her own parents, I can't imagine what her mom must have went through when this happened. I can't. It's hard to wrap your mind around this, that this actually happened to an individual, to watch her daughter try to commit suicide. That's got to be something terrible to even think about.
Right, and I can imagine once she learned what had led up to that, she was probably very angry also.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And you know, the story right now is still not very happy. The daughter doesn't even live with the mother any longer. She said she's chosen to live with somebody who will affirm who she is. So I don't know if that's maybe a strange spouse or what the case, but she's not even living at home now, and that family can really use our prayers.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I don't want to change topics, but I'm sure you know about Mr. Sherrera. His daughter was killed during COVID. They killed her in the hospital. She was had some physical, mental problems, and they killed her. And they took it to trial, and I was certain he would win that case. And then we found out he lost the case. The jury sided on behalf of the hospitals. So this injustice is happening everywhere, not just in schools, but in all aspects of life. And it's so sad. Now you go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, no, you're right. It's very sad. We see a lot of this. So let me talk about another sort of gruesome topic that I'm doing an op-ed on now. I'm writing, and I'm going to be interviewing a doctor who agrees with me on this topic. But this is something that didn't just start, but we're learning now that we've been misled, kind of like with COVID and the vaccines and all of that, how now we're learning, you know, that the vaccine was causing heart problems and heart attacks and all sorts of things. So what I'm writing about now is the fact that we have been medicating children with amphetamines for about 4 decades now to treat something they call ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
So it's attention deficit hyperactivity disorder is what ADHD stands for. And so I remember when it first started, and I don't know if it first started, but it was fairly new when my middle son was in first grade. And they wanted to put him on, at the time it was Ritalin, was the drug that they were prescribing. And thankfully, I had been listening to Dr. Laura Schlesinger. I don't know if you know who she is, but she's been around a long time.
Yes.
So she would talk on her show about this. She called it a faux syndrome. She said it's not even a real syndrome. She said what it is those kids really just need a good spanking because, you know, it was behavior issues. And so they couldn't sit still.
I want to add this too, Sherry, if you don't mind. Children are not made to sit still. That's why they give them recesses every 45 minutes and go out and burn off some energy. That's what recess is all about.
They don't even do that anymore.
I know they don't. And so they drug them down and keep them quiet. There's nothing wrong with a child's energy. If they didn't have energy, that you'd think they were sick. I mean, this is insane, but please go ahead.
So you're right. So that was a long time ago, you know, early 90s, I'm talking about, when this occurred in my experience. And I started really listening and researching. And so this has been on my heart for a long time. I of course, refused the medication for my son. And, you know, I've been speaking out on it. I wrote an op-ed a couple years ago, but all of a sudden I've got something to work with because there's been several studies published recently where the data is showing these amphetamines have had no positive effect that's lasting on children. First of all, it has no effect on their academic achievement, zero. And that's the whole reason they convince parents to put them on these drugs. They shame them and tell them, you know, if you want your kid to succeed in life and he's got to have a good education, then you've got to do this for him. They told parents that the child's brain had a deficit. And this drug, they needed this drug to fix the problem. Well, it didn't fix anything. This drug, Ritalin and now Adderall, is most popular. It's an amphetamine. And for people who don't know, amphetamine is on the street, it's called speed. So it's a drug similar to cocaine, if people know what that is. And then there's the methamphetamine, which is a highly addictive street drug right now. And so they're all classified as stimulants or amphetamines. And so this is the drug that they're putting children on at very young ages. If you remember, my son was in the first grade when they wanted to put him on this drug. So these drugs make them kind of just zone in. So they think that they're improving their attention when it's just totally impaired their mind.
Absolutely.
And it has them focusing on something centrally, but not achieving anything. In fact, achieving less than some of the tests that they did.
Well, obviously, this is a relatively new problem. When I grew up, we never heard of such thing. Yeah, there were hyper children, but again, we had recess breaks. We were allowed to go out and play and work off their energy. This wasn't even thought of back when I was in school back in the 50s and 60s. Wasn't even heard of. But all of a sudden, right. This is a plague on the American children. All of a sudden, the children got so hyperactive and so misbehaving, they have to be drugged down, keeping them in order. That is a bunch of, you know what, but go ahead.
So, yeah, so in 1993, some of the data I was reading, the research shows that in 1993, 3% of American children were diagnosed with ADHD. Now, last year, it's 11.4%. So it's just growing and growing and growing. And the rate that's growing the fastest for diagnosis is in adults. So, you know, two decades ago, kids that were in drugs, now they're adults. And those numbers are rising. So adults, in my opinion, are going to their doctor and they're getting a prescription for a drug that that makes them high, and they become addicted to it. And once you're addicted to a drug, you want more and more. So it's just a horrible thing to think that we have children on a highly addictive drug. They've also learned that it stunts growth when taken regularly. So kids, on average, in their studies, it is proven they're going to be an inch shorter than their peers who are not taking the drug. So it stunts growth. I'm interviewing a medical doctor on this tomorrow, and I think he shared with me that there's heart disease implications. I mean, I know that's true because that's the case with these illegal street drugs that they call speed. Is, you know, a lot of times these addicts will have heart attacks because their heart is just racing.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely they will. Of course.
So there's the problems. It's just absurd. I wrote in the article that it's infuriated me. It used to perplex me to think parents would go along with this, but now I'm mad. I'm mad.
Good.
Because
amen.
This is going on for so long, and we find out now that it may not even really be a real disorder because there's no what they call biomarker. There's no gene for it. There's no test that you can take to say you have ADHD. The way they test children and adults is they've got a list of behaviors. And out of the 10, if you check 6 of them and you're doing it at home and at school, then you've got it. And again, it's things like being fidgety and losing things and not paying attention in class. These are the things that diagnose him for being prescribed an amphetamine.
There may be issues like what we feed him, junk food and poisonous systems all the time with all manner of sugars and sweets and high fructose corn syrup and all the trash you put in the bodies of our children, because maybe we don't know better. That may be part of it. But a lot of it, as you said, is lack of discipline. I used to call it, instead of ADD, I call it LDD, lack of discipline disorder. And children have to be taught. They need to be taught. The parents in America today, and I'm saying it's not all of them, praise God, but a lot of them, most of them actually, I'd say, do not discipline children correctly if they discipline at all. Most of them want to be the friends to the child instead of the parent to the child. And that's a mess. That's why we're in this mess. So if we send the public school, a lot of parents send them to school to get them out of their hair for 6 or 8 hours. And that's sad to say, but I know it's true. So whatever they decide to do to them in school, that's fine. Just keep them happy and entertained or dumbed down or drugged up or whatever. So when they come home, they don't bother me. Now that's the attitude of a lot of parents today. And I hate to even call them parents. Sherry, but it's sad but true, is it not?
Well, I do think our culture has accepted, and you know, as far as back as I can remember, it was accepted that we let the government raise our children.
That's true.
And it's gotten worse and worse. You know, they want them younger and younger. It's like pre-K 4 now and after-school programs, and they want to have school through the summer. So the government is raising the American children. That's what's happening. It's sad. As a society, again, we accepted that. And it's only been, you know, the last 10 or 15 years that I've recognized that, you know, that's a flawed system. Why in the world did we ever think the government would do a good job of educating, much less raising our children? It's a serious mistake we made. And I know that it wasn't as bad as it is today, like when you were going to school or even when I was going to school, although I did begin to see some of the changes in the early 70s, from what I recall. But then I've studied, you know, people that have studied this, it's been an intentional agenda by the Marxists.
Of course.
You know, since World War II, when they came over here and infiltrated our colleges and universities.
That's been planned. That was planned even before World War II to have this to happen. But parents, even the children at home, don't spend time with them. Either the parents aren't there or the children are watching TV or on the cell phones, and who knows what they're into there. And children as young as 3 and 4 years old getting cell phones is ridiculous, but I see it happening. And we wonder why their minds are poisoned and why they can't think and pay attention more than 5 seconds. I mean, that is the way it is, and you're saying it just right. I hate to agree with you on some of these things, but you're saying it just right. We have poisoned our children physically and mentally and even spiritually. We've done this to our children. Go ahead.
So another good thing that's come out that fed into this opinion piece that I'm writing is RFK Jr.'s Make America Healthy Again Commission was charged with doing a childhood chronic disease assessment. So that was published in February, and it's alarming. As you can imagine, RFK Jr., you know, he talks about things you were talking about with the types of foods and dyes and vaccines and all of the things that, you know, children are being forced or it's being forced on families. And so he also addresses the ADHD medication problem. So I'm just really thrilled to see that in his report. And he's talking about other things, which you kind of alluded to, too, about too much screen time. The kids are spending way too much time on their devices and the television. And, of course, now they're at school on devices all day, too, because, you know, they don't even have textbooks much anymore. Everything's pretty much an online program. Teachers are relegated to being facilitators or babysitters in the classroom while the kids learn on an online platform.
That's true. Well, they can't read anyway. That's sad, but it's true. All right, folks, back at the break. A lot more talk about it and your phone calls and comments. We want you to join us also at 717-300-1698.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling the Manna Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give the Manna a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to namana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Hi there, and thank you so much for listening. This is Summer. I'm owner and operator here at Superior Mountain Herbs. Please visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com. You can always call or text 406-274-7579. We'd be happy to assist you with any of your health and wellness needs, whether you're currently combating serious disease and infection like cancer, or you're just simply looking to keep your body in great shape and maintain what God has already given you, you can visit us and we would absolutely love to help you. Once again, visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com or give us a call at 406-274-7579 to get your hands on some of the most incredible handcrafted, organic, and wildcrafted supplements on the planet. SuperiorMountainHerbs.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here. A lot of y'all are asking me to give our address out on the air, and I never take time during the interviews, but here's our address. If you want to write to us, send us a letter, say hello, or place an order, or whatever you want to do, our address is simple. It's Pastor Butch Paul, P-A-U-G-H, or call to Decision Ministries. The address is 224 Herd. That's spelled H-U-R-D. 224 Herd Road, Nettie, N-E-T-T-I-E, N-E-T-T-I-E, West Virginia, 26681. 224 Herd Road, Nettie, West Virginia, 26681. There you go. Thanks a lot.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
All righty, folks, we're back here and talking to Sherry Pugh. This lady is one of my heroines. She's a lady that just grabs a hold like a bulldog and doesn't turn loose. She hadn't turned loose. She gets no financial rewards out of this at all. She carries the load on her shoulders along with her volunteers. And she's doing her best, her dead level best, to make a difference in your child's life. That should really interest you. And Sherry, before we go any further in the program, tell the folks how they find out more about you.
Okay, so our organization, United States Parents Involved in Education, the website is USPIE, that's the acronym, USPIE.org. And I understand I say that with a little southern flair.
I like it.
If they go to USPIE.org, they can sign up to join the movement. There's a button right on the homepage to do that, and that'll put them in our email database. And once a week, we'll send them information about, you know, some of these outrageous things we're hearing happening all over the country. And we'll include some of my opinion editorials and other information. There's also a lot of great resources on our website for parents, for just freedom-loving Americans to learn more about these issues. And, you know, there's a link to my podcast, which is Unmasking Government Schools with Sherry Pugh. That's on the website. And a link to our film that we produced called Truth and Lies in American Education.
Wow, you make me tired just hearing all that. That's amazing. Praise God for you. And, folks, the phone line's open if you want to call and make any comments, ask any questions. We'd love to hear from you at 717-300-1698. The line is open for you to talk to us. So if you don't do it and you say you wish you could have, well, here we are. Just come in and join us. We'd love to talk to you. 717-300-1698. Now tell me, Sherry, with all this stuff you're doing and all these fights you're doing, can you see, I know you have won many cases, but are we making headway percentage-wise, or are we just holding our own, so to speak?
Well, we have had some victories recently. I don't know percentage-wise what it is. I think there's still, regardless of the victories we see, there's still a lot of rogue administrators and teachers and people pushing this very evil agenda. And it's going to take some time and effort, political will, to uproot it totally. But we have seen a few victories. One was just about a week ago, maybe 10 days, when the Supreme Court ruled to uphold the Tennessee law that prohibits child mutilation in the name of transgender transitioning. So Amen. Tennessee passed the law saying you can't do that to minors. And it got appealed all the way up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court ruled on the side of truth. So that's a big, big case, set a big precedent. And so that was good news. I've also been talking to some parents in the state of Washington. which, you know, Washington is probably one of the more liberal states in our country. They and Oregon and Rhode Island and California probably all compete for which one's the worst. But Washington, there's a group of parents there and some school board members who are fed up with boys competing in girls' sports. And so Washington has a law that says you have to allow them. You know, teachers have to allow them or they'll be punished, you know, or those coaches or whatever. And then we've got President Trump's executive order, in addition to Title IX, which the Supreme Court also ruled. This is another great victory a while back, where the Supreme Court ruled that you cannot change the Title IX law to include transgender and sexual orientation, which is what the Biden administration tried to do. So the Title IX law, which is the law that was instituted 55 years ago to level the playing field to protect women's sports so that they could have a level playing field with male sports, it has been protected and reinstituted as the law it's intended to be. So in Washington State, they've got the conflict of the federal law and the state law, and 24 school districts, 24, this is what amazes me, 24 different school districts have joined together to sue the Washington Department of Education over the Title IX issue. And so that's really good news. And I've really been encouraged talking to some of those school board members and parents out there in the state of Washington. So what we're learning from this, and this is, I think, good news, Pastor Butch, is that we're seeing that it's really not a partisan issue, because if you have this kind of pushback in these states, like I was talking about Rhode Island a little while ago and now Washington, that's a good sign. It tells us that this is just a common sense issue for most people. It's not a political issue. We know that, of course, the Democrats are more in favor of all this nonsense, but the average person is not, is what I believe we're seeing. And I think, again, I think we're winning on the side of truth. And maybe the left has just really done themselves in by being so in your face with their issues anymore. And I think the common person is saying, no, that's wrong. That's a lie. It's not true. A boy is a boy and a girl is a girl. And we're not going to tolerate this. So Amen. That's some good news.
Well, it is good news. By the way, this is here in West Virginia. We've had a blessing of the last several elections to become a more, I hate to use the word conservative, but let's say Christian-oriented state. And our governor, the first thing done we got in office was put out executive order that parents could not be forced to vaccinate their children against their religious convictions. The it didn't pass through the House, so the state board decided to follow the legislature's ruling instead of the governor's ruling. So we have a lady now suing the state board, and a big movement behind her to back up the fact that we should not have to vaccinate our children against our Christian convictions, especially knowing that they used dead, murdered baby cells in it to vaccinate our children. So our governor, believe it or not, has done several things right in this state. I don't agree on every issue, but he's done several things right, and I'm going to have to call him and get on a radio show to thank him for it. But that's one of the things he did, was try to take away the power of the state to force your children to be vaccinated. West Virginia and Mississippi were the worst in the country on that issue for a long time, and now we still are there. But now it's being fought, praise God. So there are some positive moves on this. Let's take a phone call. Let's start with Jan in Iowa. Jan, come on in.
Hey, Pastor. You know what? The other day, a little kid, he's seven. He was playing games, you know, on the computer with his dad. And they were in a tournament-type thing with kids and dads. And he was cursing. And you know what they did? They took away his controller and sent him to his room.
Now run that by me again. What happened?
Playing video games, and he was cursing the people that were playing the video games with him because they were cursing him too. So they took his controller away and told him he had to go to his room.
Oh,
and I said,
wow,
you didn't wash his mouth out with soap. You didn't spank his rear and put him on a chair You know, you never wanted to hear another word like that out of his mouth.
And threw that device somewhere in a trash can, spiced it, and got rid of it. That's what I would have done. But anyway, go ahead.
These kids are graduating not knowing how to read or write longhand.
That's true.
They can't do either one.
They can't read or write
read
anything.
The Constitution, if they can't read or write longhand, they got to have somebody read it to them. Because I wrote a card, and I wrote it out. And she had to have somebody read it to her because she couldn't read cursive.
I understand that.
None of her class could.
I understand that. And in some schools in West Virginia, they're not even teaching multiplication anymore. If you can't multiply, you can't do math at all. But this is happening to keep us dumbed down. And you're right, Jan. That child needed corrected more than just tell him to go to his room. But go ahead.
That's the problem. It's the parents' fault, too.
I agree.
They're not
totally
on top of what's going on.
I agree.
But that child had been told that's not a good thing to do, no matter what everybody else is doing. That's not good. That's not godly. That's not how you're supposed to behave.
My parents would taught me that real fast. My parents would break me that habit really fast. But go ahead.
You know, I wouldn't have been sitting for a little bit.
If they're right. Anything else you want to say?
You want
to say anything, Sherry? Sherry, you want to add anything?
Well, yeah, I'm sorry. I liked your comment about the lack of cursive writing. I mean, that was part of the Common Core standards, you know, and that takes us back to 2010. And so they eliminated teaching cursive writing. And you're absolutely right that now they can no longer read the founding documents, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. I think it's an intentional move.
Absolutely.
To, again, separate children not only from their families, but from the founding of this country so that they can read the founding documents, the real source of information instead of some false interpretation that they're getting in the government schools. And then, Pastor Butch, you made the comment that they can't read. And so last year, the scores came out. They call it the Nation's Report Card. And they found that 40% of children read below basic. So that's the lowest rung on the measurement is below basic. So they're not even at basic. 40% of fourth graders cannot read.
Oh, my. Oh, my. That is so, so sad. Jan, anything else you want to add before we move on, honey? Jan, already.
So I'm good.
And this all goes back, like Sherry saying, to the parents. And the parents before that got away with not being able to do this or do that, is that all this pass them along so they don't have to deal with them when they're older. Too many kids were getting left back because they wouldn't do the lessons, they wouldn't do the work. Or the teacher, there's too many people in the classroom.
Well, sad to say, but a lot of teachers their day just for a paycheck. They're not there as a calling on their life. That's sad, but it's true. A lot of them are that way now. Jan, I got to jump another call, but thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Thank you. Let's go next to Chad in North Carolina. Chad, come on in. Welcome.
Thank you, Pastor Butch. I'm sorry. I was going to ask your guest if that new standard of eliminating cursive writing had stuck or if it had been changed since the new administration had come along. Because in the years of Trump's first administration, we noticed here, just in North Carolina, when they were pushing all the obscene books in the children's library in the schools, that they were doing it here. And, of course, the school administrators, the higher-ups, were trying to keep it that way. And the people that were involved in all kinds of shenanigans like that seemed to have a very difficult time beating them. And that was almost 10 years ago. But...
Yes.
I remember when I was growing up and I went to school in the 80s, I remember my mother telling me that they caught wind of the public school trying to push some sort of I guess, some sort of counseling for girls' pregnancies or something like that through the school. And so the moms all went to the school to protest in front of the I guess, I don't know if it was a PTA meeting or something like that. And I think the school administration just, you know, they just ignored them. So
they usually do. They tried to ignore them, and they usually get by with it. Have been for a long time. But I do believe, I think, Chad, maybe parents are getting a little more fed up with all this nonsense, at least those who care. The masses probably don't really care, but enough are getting fed up now. Hey, there's some things that's changing, perhaps, for the glory of God and for the sake of the children. You have any comments on that, please, Sherry?
Yes. So, hi, Chad. I'm your neighbor in South Carolina. And so, yeah, as far as I know, the cursive writing is still not being taught. I don't recall the president, you know, making any demands on that. He's instituted a lot of things that are good, like civics and real history and, you know, boys are boys and girls are girls. But I think cursive is still not being taught, although some states have the authority. They can do it on their own, and some states have, I think, reinstituted. Most have not. And then the pornography issue that you brought up, you know, the in the schools, the smut that they have in the libraries, that's still common over, you know, across the country. You know, in southern states like ours, it's very prevalent. And the reason it's so prevalent is because there's something in the Constitution in our state that protects, it's not the Constitution, forgive me. There's a law that protects schools, and so local libraries and schools do not have to adhere to the obscenity laws. So if you or I were to take one of these pornographic books that they have in their libraries to a child, we could be arrested for that because it is pornography and that's obscenity and it's illegal. But the school libraries and the local libraries are protected from obscenity laws. Nearly every state in the nation passed a law protecting those entities back in the 60s. And then finally, about the in the 80s, what you were describing was probably the teen pregnancy prevention movement. And I remember in the 70s when I was going to school is when they first started teaching sex ed. And then when HIV came out in I guess probably the 80s, you know, they were trying to prevent teen pregnancy and the spread of AIDS. So they were having these very graphic sex education classes and trying to prevent disease and pregnancy, supposedly. But what we have to know and understand that's similar to the transgender movement, if you will, the ideology we're dealing with today, is that it's a big money-making industry. So these transgender surgeries and the medications, the hormone blockers that they put them on, are making a lot of money. And I read the statistics, and it's just growing and growing. So the same thing was true with teen pregnancy. While they said they were trying to prevent teen pregnancy, they were actually promoting sexual activity because these kids had never even, you know, considered it before, but yet they were teaching them how to have sex, quote-unquote, safely to avoid HIV pregnancy, which, you know, just fueled the whole epidemic. And in the late 90s, teen pregnancies had skyrocketed. But the money-making industry behind that is the abortion industry. And then condoms were also a money-making industry when we were all concerned about HIV. And have you noticed, Pastor Butch, we haven't heard much about HIV lately, have we?
Not for a while we have it, no. No.
Yeah, it mysteriously just went away, it seems.
It's amazing how they pull these schemes all the time, and people's memories are very short. Anything else you want to say, Chad?
If I might divulge for a second, Pastor, did you ever hear of a gentleman named Barry Shamish?
Maybe.
He was an Israeli journalist, and he used to write books about the corruption in Israel.
Okay.
I found out that he actually passed away some years ago, but he had a number of books on Lulu.com that are still there. And he mentioned a number of books written, I guess, after World War II or during World War II, written by rabbis who, one of them was a rabbi, Marvin Antleman, who explained where how Karl Marx was paid to write the Communist Manifesto and who did it. It's actually, I haven't even started reading it yet, and it's you know, I'm sure maybe I've seen it before, but this is basically, to me, what is being pushed on the young people today. It was going on a little bit probably when I was in school.
It started back in the 50s. I know that from reading, from knowing what I know, from living those that era and seeing it today. It was. I got to jump, Chad. Thanks for the call, though. Good call. Let's go to Gary in Arizona. Gary, come on in.
Hi, Butch. And also, hi, Sherry.
Hi.
I talked to you before in the past. I was on his show. You know, I'm a man who goes out on the street and tries to show people what abortion truly is. And try to get them to help to bring that to an end. The last time you was on, me and you discussed that, it was a good discussion. But anyways, you know, God's word is very clear on things, especially
Gary, you're breaking up.
With little children.
You're breaking up, Gary.
Okay, I'm going to the other room. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Turn it off. My wife had her phone on too, but bear with me for a minute here.
What
I was trying to say is, which, as you know, I try to stand up for the preborn. I go up a couple times a week and show people what abortion truly is. Now, that's a gifting that God gave me. I know that everybody can't do that, but everybody can do something.
Amen.
According to God's word. And so, Sherry, I appreciate it very much. You covered so many topics here. Because you love people, you love children, and you want to see them not be abused, and that's a gift from God itself. But I just want to say this, and I'll get off. Silence in the face of evil is itself evil.
Amen.
Yeah, you know, and God has given us a voice. Use it. And that's all I'm going to say.
All right.
God bless you both, and have a good day.
Thank you, Gary. Very good.
Well, thank you, Gary. Yes, thank you,
folks,
Gary.
We have time for one more phone call. If you hurry, 717-300-1698. Go ahead, Sherry.
Well, I just wanted to thank Gary for that encouragement because, you know, when we work so hard and we're in the trenches, it helps to hear a word of encouragement from time to time.
Of course it does.
So thank you.
Of course it does. I mean, it really does. The people don't take that for granted. When you thank Sherry and you respect what you're doing, it gives her a boost to keep on fighting. We all get tired. We're all just people. No one is super anything. We're just people. Sherry, down about the last couple, 3 minutes here, nobody's calling in, so I'm going to let you kind of say what you want to say, and again, tell folks how they can contact you, how can they help you financially, whatever. Just share what's on your mind.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that, Pastor Butch, and I appreciate you and all the years you've been in the trenches and fighting, and I'm really glad that I've had the opportunity to get to know you.
Well,
so,
thank you.
Yeah, I just like to end with, you know, telling your listeners again about our website. If they want to get more involved, they can go to USPIE.org. And, you know, you can look at our map and see where we have state chapters, and we can get you connected with people in your state so you can get more involved. Or if we don't have a state chapter in your state, perhaps you can help us to secure someone to lead a chapter. It's not a lot of work. We just need people that are committed and like-minded and want to do what they're able to do to help. And especially it's important for us to have people in states across the country because we're trying to pass some federal legislation now to close the Department of Education. In fact, there's a bill that Congressman Moore from Alabama has offered that H.R. 2691, and we're working to try to help pass that bill that closes the Department of Education and shifts the money back to the states. And it's a very, very good bill. It's modeled somewhat after the blueprint that we developed. So it's important to have people in every state Because when you're working with Congress, members of Congress do not care what you have to say if you're not a constituent. So that's it's true. Important for us to have people across the country that can help us lobby their congressmen so that we can get this kind of federal legislation passed. So check out our website. Check out my new podcast, Unmasking Government Schools with Sherry Few. I've got some amazing guests on there. We're going to have Pastor Butch sometime in the future. And, again, our film is available at the website. It's Truth and Lies in American Education, and it's a really good place for people to start if they want to understand how toxic the government schools have become. And you can buy a copy and share it with your family and friends. If there's parents that you're concerned about whose kids are in government schools, it's a great gift. And we could use your help. So even if you're able to contribute to the work we're doing, we really enjoy and appreciate recurring donations. If you can't give a lot of money, you can sign up to give $20 a month. And that adds up when you've got several people doing that. And that helps us to fund some of the things we're doing.
Amen. And information how to give is on the site, right?
Yes, absolutely. You can't miss that.
Is there a phone number people can call to contact somebody about more information if they need it? A lot of folks don't have computers, so they need a phone number if you have one.
Yeah, I don't mind giving out my phone number. My number is 803-420-1987. So that's my phone number, and I'd be glad to take a call. I've had one of your regular listeners call me a couple of times, Pastor Butch, and I'm always glad to hear from people that want to help and are interested in the work that we're doing.
Well, folks, that's 803-420-1987. Wow, that's very generous, Sherry. And God bless you, sweetheart. We'll be in touch in the future. Now, if I can do anything to help you, you let me know, okay?
All right, that sounds great. We'll give you a call and try to get you scheduled on the podcast.
All right, we'll talk to you real soon. Keep up the good fight.
All right. Thank you. Likewise,
Pastor. Thank you. Folks, we're about out of time, but I want to thank you all for joining us tonight. And if you can help us keep this thing going I can't believe I'm saying July, but we are. Keep us this thing going in July. We'd appreciate it. We really would. And thank you for all you've done already. Some of y'all have been so faithful so many years. And I think about people call us on Thursdays from time to time, and some of every Thursday. You become part of the family. I just want to thank you for loving us like you do and praying for us. With all my heart, I mean that. I really sincerely wish I could spend time with every one of you, some one-on-one, and drink less iced tea and talk a while. I know it can't happen. If you need to talk to me, though, you let us know. Call the office at 800-777-4403. I'll get back to you as soon as possible. By the grace of God, we'll see you tomorrow night. Have a great night. This is
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.